And the show must go on, specifically the Parish of the Patriots show, the 143rd installment of the show going on. Glad you could join us this week. Really excited. I think we'll have a great discussion this week. We will have our Christian specific segment a little later on in the show. I do shoot for around the halfway mark of the show. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes we wind up a little earlier with it, or usually a little later. And then, of course, the show runs long. But, anyway, we do shoot for an hour-long show, and I do try to have the sermon about halfway through it. So, either way, look forward to that. And just as I always like to start the show off reminding everyone, this show is supported by the voluntary support of you, the listeners. Don't be shy. Pay those tithes. It is very much appreciated. We have snail mail. We got Bitcoin, got Monero. If you have another cryptocurrency that's not listed, shoot me an email. I'll do my best to get you an address for that. All that information is down at the bottom of the description page here on Radio Albion. So, yeah, be sure and check that out. It is much appreciated. And in that same line of thought, I do like to start off with the listener supporter mailbag. Just got one note this week. Hi, Dan. Thought you might find this interesting. My brother got a letter from his son's high school that told him he was a danger to his son because they are not vaccinated. My nephew is covered under religious exemptions under state law. It's obvious that they're going to start ignoring the law soon. And that's from Tony. And yeah, it just keeps pushing further and further forward. We did show Friday, the Friday installment. Yes, we missed 1 week, but we were back this past Friday. And Sven Longshanks and I were discussing some ridiculous crap going on in Britain where they're making grade schoolers all go to school wearing a skirt one day for equality. And the point was made, in fact, I made the point, that we really are hitting that point to where it's people are going to run out of excuses as far as why they're not going to do homeschooling. And you know, I'm sympathetic. I get that, you know, what are you supposed to do here? You know, I mean, you've got to work, and in many cases, two parents have to work. And I said on the show, you know, at the point that, you know, you could let your kids just stay home, listen to Radio Albion, and they could get their history, patriotic history. They could get their religious lesson here. I mean, you know, you would be better off letting them sit at home, listen to Radio Albion, and play video games all day, apparently, than I think at this point. Then sending them to these schools where they're teaching them every sort of ridiculous, trying to convince all the kids that they're gender dysphoric. And now, of course, we got the vaccine push. And yeah, they are going to keep pushing. You know, talking about that, it's like all of these states, you've got all these states, and like here in Texas, you know, the governor says, oh, well, we're not going to allow any kind of vaccine mandate. And I can guarantee you at some point they will. Because it's all a show. As I always say, these politicians are nothing more than middle management. And their job is, you know, aside from to deal with public complaints, their job is to, well, manage, as any manager would be. And they're supposed to manage this agenda to where they all get to the same end point. So if you got a state like, say, California, where the governor just is all in and pushing that agenda to the very end, I mean, just in the face, we're going to do the mandates, we're going to force this, we're going to force that, we're going to do the passport, whatever the case may be, you got this hardcore take. And then you go to a state like Texas and there, you know, the governor puts on the show talking about, you know, we're not going to allow this. Why? We're going to make a decree here that they can't do that. They're not going to be able to mandate the vaccine and this and that. And of course, as I've pointed out previously, all that means when they say they're going to fight it is it means they're going to go to court. And of course, the court's job is to ultimately, like the same job of the middle management, their job is to be the fail-safe to come in and say, oh, nope, sorry, you have to do what the regime wants. And then the point is these governors then can go back and point and say, well, we tried. You see, we tried, but these courts are the ones that stopped us. Otherwise, you know, because you know you'd have a governor that was truly fighting it if he stands up there and says, I don't care what the court says, let them try to enforce it. You know, when the federal government came in and said, well, if you don't do it, we're going to withhold your money. And the governor says, good, then we'll withhold yours. We won't send any money your way back the other way. Let's see how this goes. This back and forth. And see, that's what a governor really fighting the regime would look like. When they just come out and make these, we're not going to allow this. And then, you know, it immediately goes to court. And we know that eventually, even if one, you know, they might even drag it out, you know, well, this one court ruled in favor of the governor. They're not going to allow these federal mandates to go through. It's immediately appealed. They're just putting on a show. they will eventually get what they want. That's what the courts do. So it's all working together. So many people have this view like the system is broken when it's working just fine. It just doesn't do what the average person thinks it's supposed to do. By the way, that was the entirety of our listener support. That was the entirety of our listener supporter mailbag this week. Didn't take long. So, yes, we are just going to just keep rolling right on in to the rest of the show. It's amazing how they are. They're putting this social pressure. You're a danger. You're a danger to yourself and your family and your children because you're not getting the vaccine. These same people would, you know, posture and act as though it's because they trust the science. You are the weirdo. You and your weird religions or whatever, and you don't trust the science and you're putting everyone in danger. And these people, it's amazing. They don't trust any sort of actual scientific method. I've said this before. I will continue to say it. Any of your average people that stand there and proclaim themselves as trusting the science is a lie. What they trust is the media. They trust what the media and the government tell them because there's no shortage of actual scientists. And I think one of our themes, Dave, there will be some science bashing today. And as I go through all that, bear in mind, I got nothing against science in the form of the scientific method in its correct place. It's just science is a method of understanding and discovering how things work in the world around us. I mean, in a sense, if you think about it, we're all scientists to a certain extent. We're all every day trying to figure out how things work around us, how the world operates around us. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm talking about this other, you know, science. But there's people who'll say, I love the science. They just, you know, I believe in the science. I trust the science. And it's a lie. They trust and believe the media. There's no shortage of scientists out there that say this is all bullshit and it's very dangerous bullshit, but they don't listen to that. They don't even try to find it. Of course, the censorship has gotten so bad that it's a little harder, but you can still find it. You can still find that information. I mean, it's not impossible. If these people truly were devoted to the scientific method, then they would put in the effort to go out there and like really delve into it and do their own research. There's nothing that says you can't do like scientific research on your own, at least some form of research. If these people love the science, they would partake in the science and like do some research and say, well, wait a minute, let me find out all the facts and all the information on this. But they don't. They're lazy. They sit at home and they watch CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. It doesn't matter. Yes, I threw Fox News in there because it's just really a kind of fake opposition news. But anyway, they watch the media. They listen to the media. They listen to the government decrees. And that is what they trust. And then they act like, you know, they're smarter than everybody else. It's funny. One of my favorite memes has been going around for a little bit, you know, is the bell curve one, you know. And it's like, when it comes to, say, for the vaccine, of course, the meme gets used on a lot of things. But like for the vaccine, you got the people on the bottom side of the bell curve, you know, and they're like, I ain't taking that shit, you know. And then you have the people at the high end of the bell curve, like the really smart people. And they're like, well, I've looked into this and the research shows this is highly dangerous. I will not be taking this vaccine. And then you got the freaking midwits. Then you've got the midwits. I trust the science. I trust the science. And they think they're smarter. They do. They think they're smarter than everybody else. I really am convinced that midwits are like the biblical, you know, when you read about like fools in the Bible, midwits are it, you know, because it doesn't, anybody's ignorant of something. I mean, there's a lot of things I'm ignorant of. And part of wisdom is understanding that there are going to be things you don't understand and you don't understand how they work. There's nothing wrong with being ignorant. There's really not any particular thing wrong with somebody just literally being stupid. You know, I mean, they have a low IQ. They're just literally stupid. I mean, they can't help it. You got somebody that's just stupid. I mean, they have a low IQ. They can't help it. They're only going to be capable so much just genetically. That's how they were born. I mean, somebody was born with like one leg missing. You wouldn't like make fun of them because, you know, they can't run. I mean, you understand that, well, they're born that way. They can't help it. Yeah, I mean, they're only going to be capable. They're hopping around or they have a fake leg. They're doing the best they can with what they got. Well, that's not something to be mocked. But the midwits are the biblical fools because, see, they think that they are smarter than everybody else. I mean, they can see that they're smarter than the really stupid people that don't understand like a lot of things, aren't capable of grasping things. But they automatically think that they're smarter than everybody in the room. They're smarter than the people who are observable. Because like stupid people, a lot of times, you know, they understand on a certain level. I don't go around dwelling on it, but they understand that they're stupid. You know, I mean, they get that know, well, they just don't understand. And they usually keep their mouths shut. You know, they understand. They're kind of humbled by it. You know, they understand they don't get this stuff. They don't understand it. If it comes up in a conversation, they'll usually just say, well, I don't understand any of that. And I just don't worry about it, you know, because they can't grasp it. But the midwit, you see, the midwit always thinks they're the smartest person in the room. They cannot humble themselves. They cannot grasp the concept of humility to say, well, there's a lot of people way smarter than me. I mean, I got lucky and wound up kind of in the middle somewhere. But, you know, is what it is. I mean, there are a lot of people smarter than me. Maybe I should listen to them. The midwit always thinks they're smart. And thus, they have this mindset. The midwit sits there, listens to CNN, listens to the government decree, and then goes out there and just regurgitates those and says, I trust the science. I believe in science, you see. I'm not superstitious. But they don't. I don't actually believe it. Yeah, they are. I do. I believe that when you read about fools in the Bible and the ways of the fool, I mean, it does. It just sums up. It sums up midwits just perfectly. Anyway, we got off on a tangent there, but no, they absolutely are. I mean, they keep pushing this and they're going to keep pushing. We are going to wind up with some form of vaccine passport. Some people already are in certain cities. You know, we're going to get a vaccine passport. You're going to get, I wouldn't be surprised at all. You've got, like in the listener mail here, you've got teachers in the school now saying, oh, well, you're a danger to your children because you're not vaccinated and they're not vaccinated. A danger to your children. I mean, so how many, really, if we look at this, stand back and look at it, how many steps are we away from CPS being called and they're going to come in and snatch up your kids and vaccinate them and take them away because you're not vaccinated? And, you know, of course, they took away the freedom of speech and said, oh, you have freedom of speech, but you don't have freedom from consequences. Remember that? You know, so yeah, you have the freedom to decide not to get vaccinated, but you don't have the freedom to put your children in danger. So we're going to send CPS in and take your children away from you because you're putting them in danger by not getting vaccinated against the deadly disease. By the way, I wanted to throw a note in here for regular listeners who enjoy this show and tune in also for the Friday installment of the Daily Nationalist. Be sure and look down on the page for the Albion Insights show, because I did do an Albion Insights recently with Cato. If you listen to Dr. Slattery's show, you know on Mondays, Cato shows up as the co-host on that show to talk about things China related. It's a different type of deal than what you're used to hearing, but I'm really proud of the way it came out. So it's really fun to take a look at these things and from a different perspective. So we pretty much do a China centric discussion. So anyway, if you do enjoy the show, you might want to check that out. Anyway, speaking of governors, you know, and the sordid middle managers, you know, they're all middle managers. All of these politicians, they're middle management, whether it's governors, whether it's president of the United States, they're all middle management. Congress, all middle management. They have their role to play. But anyway, speaking of these things, a political, you know, of course, the big news this past week is the Virginia governor's race. The Virginia governor's race. There was a huge upset. And I've just been sitting around just smiling and shaking my head at the media coverage of it. And, you know, whether that is, you know, conservative media or liberal media, you know, the media coverage of this is just so predictable. You know, oh my gosh, we had this big upset. The media is running around going, oh, Democrats are really worried. And they're bringing these Democrat strategists on talking about the Democrats have got to, you know, they got to rein in the leftists. They got to rein in their extreme liberals. They got to the progressives. They got to put a leash on these progressives and, you know, listen to the voters. And it's all a show. I mean, it really is. It's all a stupid show, because I'm sitting there, I'm being reminded of the way they do the whole, you know, once we get this level of, you know, basically this is the political version of we're easing restrictions, you know, with the COVID. We're going to ease restrictions. Our COVID numbers are going down. So we're going to ease restrictions, which I've always found that, by the way, insulting. It's like, let's see. Oh, yes, we have the right to go to the grocery store. Yes, we have a right to walk around without a freaking mask on. Well, we've taken that right away, but we're going to ease restrictions. See how generous we are. We're generous. We're easing restrictions. This is the political version we're easing COVID restrictions. And of course, you know, they're going to come back around. They're going to, you know, they ease up a little bit and then they say, oh, we've had a spike in cases because there's so many dangerous people who are refusing to get vaccinated. So we're going to take those away. Sorry. Sorry. Back to lockdowns for you. This is it that governor's race that they're going on about. This is the political version of easing restrictions. This is they're trying to get people to keep buying in. And you see the conservative media obediently playing their role in this, you know. Well, see, this just shows that we can still, as Republicans, we can appeal to the voters. You see, because the voters can love our agenda. What's your agenda? Well, we don't really have one. But they will appeal to it. You know, it's just like when Trump was in there and all the Democrats had was Orange Man Bad. Now that Biden's in there, all the Republicans have is Biden is senile, which Biden is senile. I mean, the guy doesn't know where he's at. But nonetheless, it's essentially the flip side of the same coin. Nobody's bringing a new agenda. There's nobody talking about, you know, we're absolutely just... Can you imagine now if somebody won the governor's race, which they wouldn't allow, that honestly stood up there and said that we're not doing any of these restrictions? I don't care what we'll fight it in court. But if the court rules against us, we're just not going to do it anyway. We're going to push that button. We're going to call their bluff. We're going to see how far they're going to go. They're going to send the military in to enforce COVID restrictions in our state. We're going to stand up and not do it. That would be a real fight. That would be something to be excited about. But as long as you have some milquetoast governor or guy running for governor on the Team R ticket talking about, we're stand up for the people, for all of the people, and Biden's bad, and the Biden administration, and we're going to talk about the Constitution, and we'll fight them, we'll take them to court, because we're not going to do these things. It's all a shit show. Oh, shit show. They're just trying to keep everybody buying into the charade, buying into the system. Because if people haven't figured out by now, no matter who gets elected, the regime gets what they want. I don't know what to say. You know, I mean, how do you not get that by now? It's like, doesn't matter if you get Team R or Team D, you're going to get the same result. It's all theater. It's up to you whether or not you participate in that theater. I'm not. I'm done. I'm done participating in that theater. If we get somebody here in Texas running for governor on that platform, I mean, what would it take for me to go to voting, go back to voting? I'll tell you what, if we get somebody running for governor on secession and it doesn't matter what courts say, we're not going to implement these federal regulations. We're going to stand up and, yeah, we'll fight it in court. But if the courts rule against us, too bad, we're still not doing it. What are they going to do? The court's going to send their army in. If you get somebody running for governor on that agenda, they'll probably be assassinated or they'll just roll out the vote fraud machine to make sure they don't win. But if you get somebody running on that platform, I'll get excited about it. Otherwise, wake me up later. Speaking of the Orange Man, speaking of the Orange Man, did you see that deal where the Orange Man called in to like some radio show somewhere because, you know, that's what he's down to because he's been banned from everything? Those of us who were getting banned from everything years ago and nobody gave a shit, you know, it's like this is our moment to kind of like gloat to ourselves. It's a brief moment. We shouldn't spend a lot of time on it, but it is our moment to gloat to ourselves when you got Trump there. Now, he's been banned from everything. He basically has no social media presence and he's down to, you got this guy that a year ago at this time was president of the United States, you know, And he's down to calling into a local radio show because he's banned from everything. It's hilarious. Anyway, did you see where he called into this local radio show and he was bemoaning, you know, the state of things because it's always about him. And since he's not there, things are so bad. And the only thing he could point to, because he can't point to the vaccine mandates because he's been Mr. Rah-Rah cheering on the vaccines for years now because he thinks he can take credit. It really is... With Trump, I mean, everything literally is, I mean, narcissistic. Everything is about himself. It's not about himself. He doesn't care. You know, that's why one of the reasons why he wasn't going to go out and issue a blanket pardon before he left office for the January 6th protesters, so, you know, because what does that benefit him? You know, it's all about himself. If it's not about he himself, then he couldn't care less. But anyway, so he calls into this radio show And what does he have to point to? He's bemoaning the fact, and he actually comes out and says, Israel owned the Congress. He's saying they don't anymore, which I don't know where he comes to that conclusion. But he's sitting there going, well, you know, Israel's all, I can't do a Trump imitation. I can do a Bill Clinton imitation.
I feel your pain. I got a tear running down my cheek. I tell you what, I feel so bad.
I can do Bill Clinton. I don't do a good Trump. I can't do a Trump imitation, so I think I'll just butcher it up, so I'm just not going to. So, but he goes on there, and he's like, you know, well, everybody knows Israel has always owned the Congress. And I'm thinking, I could just picture, like, the red alert sitting on Jonathan Greenblatt's desk. We got a canard happening. We've got a trope going down. You know, I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, that isn't this a canard and a trope? And Trump is on here blabbering about Israel's always owned the Congress, but they don't now. I'm not sure how it is that they don't, but he says they don't now, and Israel no longer. And it's a horrible thing. It's a horrible thing. Israel no longer owns our Congress, and that just shows you how bad the Democrats are, because they're not letting Israel own the Congress enough. This is the, I don't know how more clownish and absurd and ridiculous this country can become. It's really, really something. He says that Israel's always owned the Congress, but now they don't. It's really bad. It shows how bad. If I was still in there, because again, with Trump, everything has to be about himself. You know, I'm sure he's like, if I was still in there, why, I would make sure that Israel owned all of every single congressperson and every fact. I would probably just let Israel run the entire bureaucracy. That way everything would work better. I don't know. You know, how does that get handled? I haven't seen anything. Maybe it's happened and I've just missed it. But I haven't seen anything where, you know, the ADL has come out and condemned Trump for promoting these canards and tropes that the Israel lobby owns and operates Congress. I'm pretty sure that falls in the canard and trope category. Haven't seen anything yet. Maybe this is one of those rare times where even the ADL is like, we don't know what to do with this. You know, I mean, do we go ahead and slap him with the canard and trope thing, or do we just let this slide? We don't even know what to make sense of this. What the hell is he doing? And they say, see, found common ground. Both myself and the ADL right now are looking at this Trump thing and going, we don't know what the hell is he doing? Where is he going with this? I don't know. It's utter insanity. He's apparently lost his mind. I don't know. Maybe that's it. He feeds off the public attention now that he's been banned from everything. He doesn't have it. Maybe he's losing it. I don't know. Either way, it's just move on, you know? I mean, it's like if you were in a really, you know, tumultuous relationship with another person, you know, and then you finally break up and then you see them like, you know, 6 months later and they're like on the street, like running around like high on crack, naked or some shit, you know, and you'd be like, what the hell? That's that bitch I was dating 6 months ago. And you're sitting there scratching your head going, what the hell's going on? But you're probably not going to run over there and be like, hey, what's going on? You just be like, walk away slowly. People be like, do you know who that bitch is? Nah, man, I don't even know who that bitch is, man. I don't even know who bitch is this, man. I'm just easing on up out of here. You know what I'm saying? That's how I'm with Trump. You know, you're doing this crazy shit. I sit there and go, what the hell is he doing? But I'm just easing on out of here. Who knows? It's time to move on. Oh, anyway. Speaking of moving on, I'm recording the show on Saturday. And just normal. I mean, sometimes I do it on Sunday, but normal. Saturday is kind of my normal day when I'll sit down and record the show. Well, I'm recording the show on Saturday. And so you know what that means. This is the weekend. Spring forward, fall back, you know, daylight savings time comes to an end. We change the clocks, or as I like to think of it, this is that one time, twice a year, well, one time, I did a canard there, this is the twice a year, one of the twice a year times, where as I like to say, the government LARPs like they're God, you know, like they're a God. Yeah, oh yes, you don't think we're all powerful? Watch this. We will change time itself. Oh, it's like, you ain't change shit. You just move, have everybody change their clocks. It's like it's cheap knockoff. It's a horrible, cheap knockoff shit. You know, sometimes I feel I feel like when the prophet was like, you know, mocking, you know, the priests of Baal and be like, set the wood on fire. Come on now, call it down. Where's he at? Maybe he went to sleep. That's what I feel like. That's what I feel like. You know, we have the power to change time. Watch. Okay, everybody change their clock. See, it is no longer 7 o'clock. It is now 6 o'clock by our own power and authority. It's like this stupid, cheap knockoff. It's like they're LARPing as a god. We can change time and stuff. And then the media go on about it. It's just like, oh, this is so great. Yeah, only reason I watch local media at all is just to get the weather. That's it. I usually keep it muted the rest of the time because it's things like, oh, we got a vaccine clinic opening for kids. That's something, too. I'm going to get off on a quick tangent here. But, you know, the whole big news about, oh, they're going to start vaccinating five-year-olds. And, like, you know, they got FDA approval. And the media was trying to hype it like, you know, we wonder how this decision's going to come out. And I'm sitting there like, I have no question how the decision's going to come out. Well, shockingly, you know, FDA, CDC, they all come together and say, yes, we're going to approve the Pfizer for, you know, vaccinating five-year-olds. And like the local news the next day is doing stories about shipments of the Pfizer for children vaccine is arriving at clinics. And I'm sitting there going, wow, it's almost like Pfizer knew how that was going to come out beforehand. Sorry, I'm not trusting the science sufficiently enough. Yeah, I got off on that tangent. Now I forgot what the hell I was talking about. This show is always brought to you with the highest level of professionalism. You know, I wonder if in all of the years that Rush Limbaugh did his show on AM Talk Radio, I wonder if he ever stopped and said, I don't even remember what the hell I was talking about. But anyway, yeah, no, I guess we were on about the government LARPing as a god. You know, they can change time itself, and it's so cheap and stupid because they're sitting there and they're just turning the clocks. You know, just cheap imitation. We're turning the clocks back. See, oh yeah, now I remember. So I knew if I sat here and rambled long enough, it'd come to me. It's the quality of the show keeps getting better and better. Watch local news, and I don't trust people that can smile on command, you know, and it is one of the things, because I mute it for most of these stories, and you watch their facial expressions without the words, and you can tell if this is supposed to be a serious story or a feel-good story, and they'll do them back to back, and you're watching this bitch sit here on the local news, and you look over there, and she's got her serious face on, like, she's at a funeral. She might be going to cry here in a minute. And you watch, and she's mouthing her words. And then they change the thing behind her. And all of a sudden, she got a big smile. Like she fixing to strip naked and get her naked ass in your bed and give you rock your world tonight. She all smiling. And she's, I don't trust people like that. Really? I mean, how would you, can you imagine if you lived with one of these news thoughts? Can you imagine that? Like you would never know. You would never know what that bitch was thinking, would you? Because she like smiles on command, you know, like she's like crying at the funeral. And you'd be like, you saw some bitch like that looking sad at a funeral. And you're like, you don't know if she's really sad. She could have killed that guy. She's just an actress. She's putting on a show. Anyway, talking about I'm still on the time change subject. I've just wandered way the hell off the reservation with it. But I'm still on this. I'm just going to make this point eventually. And you see these dumb bitches and they're like, oh, thank goodness the time is changing. Well, the time is not changing. Everybody's just moving their clocks. The sun and the earth are not changing their position relative to one another. And they say, we're getting an extra hour of sleep. Really? The clock, thank goodness, the clocks are rolling back. We get an extra hour of sleep now. Yeah, for like one freaking day. You know, like the first day. I mean, we're changing the clocks. It's Saturday. Changing the clocks tonight. Yes, bitch. Monday morning, your eyes might wake up and think, it's 6 o'clock. It's time for me to get up. And you look, it's only 5. Yay. I could sleep for another hour. But guess what happens? When it comes tonight, when it comes Monday night, and it's time for you to scrape all the makeup off your ass. And, you know, I guess go to the blank face, you know, maybe that's it. Maybe they do all the fake expressions. Because I was thinking, do they even know how to do like real expressions? Maybe when they take all the makeup off and they're not on set, they just have the NPC face. Maybe that's what it is. But they go home and they scrape off the makeup and they put their NPC face on and they get ready for bed. They're going to look at the clock and be like, oh, it's bedtime. I always go to bed at 10 o'clock. I'm going to bed at 10 o'clock. And they're going to sit there and say, oh, you know. So in other words, oh, wait a minute. I'm actually going to bed at 11 o'clock because the time changed. So then the next day they wake up and it's the same amount of sleep. You are not getting an extra hour of sleep, you stupid bitch. You're getting the same amount. You get an extra hour of sleep, I guess, the first day of it. But within the end of the week, you're going to be adjusted. You're going to be going to bed at 10 o'clock or whatever the hell. You'll be getting up at 6 o'clock. It's the same thing. You're not being granted. The God of government has blessed me. He has blessed me with an hour of extra sleep. Of course, we know that next year, the God of government shall taketh away my extra hour. Oh, my extra hour of sleep. I don't know. Yes. It's an amazing thing. I guess. But they're not stupid. They're midwits. And they believe the science. What's really bad. I was thinking about this and we were talking. I referenced our show Friday. We're going to go ahead and get this wrapped up here in a minute and get into our Christian specific segment this week, the sermon this week. But before we do that, you know, we did the show Friday, Sven Longshanks and I talking about, you know, these schools and such as this. And the schools, there's primary schools in Britain. This primary school in Britain is making all the little kids wear, you know, a skirt. You know, specifically make the boys wear a skirt. Everybody's going to wear a skirt in the name of equality. I can't tell you how that makes sense because it makes no sense. It's just more of the usual shit. Anyway. And we did this show. You know, talking about them doing this agenda in the school, this primary school, you know, forcing the boys to wear a skirt in the name of God. And I made the point on that show. I said, well, they're only doing that at the white schools. I can guarantee you there ain't no schools in the Islamic neighborhoods of London making the boys wear a skirt. You know, there's a reason. There's a reason they're not going to do that. They're not going to make any of the Muslim students go around, you know, wearing a skirt. You know, it's like, that's not going to happen. And I was thinking about that, and I was, you know, those who worship the science, and I was thinking it's a sad statement, and maybe this is, you know, relevant since we're going into our Christian-specific segment, but, you know, all of these other religions, whether it's Islam, or even those who worship the Order of the White Coat, science, you know, one thing about it, I have to give credit where credit's due, is they do all have more faith than Christians, you know? I mean, Christians are so busy being nice, you know? They're so busy not offending anybody. They're so busy being nice. You know, they don't have any time left to actually, you know, have faith and to actually, you know, I don't know, stand up for themselves. They're just, can't do that. Somebody might be offended, you see, because it's been morphed around and turned into the religion of you're not allowed to offend anybody anywhere, anytime. Anyway, I was just thinking of that. It's like you look at all these different religions, and it's like Christians are at the bottom of the scale as far as actual faith, because they've allowed themselves to be convinced that the center point of their religion is the tenet of never offending anybody at any time, anywhere. So, of course, they just have to be rolled, anyway, steamrolled over. But we don't here at the Parish of the Patriots. Are not about being steamrolled over. We are about the real deal. We try to be as Christ-like as possible because Christ was always offending people, always going around offending people. And with that in mind, we're going to go ahead and roll on into the Christian-specific segment here, the sermon for this week. So you know what to do. Let's get in there. Fill these pews. Let's go ahead and get into our Christian-specific. This is part C. The first half of the show, I have to sit here and try not to start preaching at everybody. But see, now this time, now we just... The reins are off. We're just free ranging here. We can go ahead and talk about the Christian specific perspective on these things right here. So if you don't like that, you know, I don't know. You ought to stick around though, even if you're not a Christian believer, because I do have Christian non-believers say they still like that part. So if you knew, you might want to hang out. You might get something out of it. If not, I don't care. Go to hell. I'm not here to convince anybody. Anyhow, yeah, so as we get settled in this week, getting ready for Christian Specific, I thought we'd talk about abortion. And I know we've kind of touched on this before. I get that. It's kind of a little bit of repeat for some of that. But I thought we'd talk about it from a different perspective. Because it's in the news, you know, Texas passed this abortion law that doesn't specifically outlaw abortion, but it allows private citizens to sue these abortion providers. So, of course, now we're doing the theater of going through the courts, and we know where the courts are going to wind up landing with this. But I thought we would talk about, because abortion is one of the many reasons that God is not going to bless America, why God's judgment is against America, and rightfully so. And It, trust me, this will not be your generic boilerplate, you know, anti-abortion talk that you would get at basically any, I don't know, well, not any church, because I guess some of the churches now, they're just full-on global homo, and they don't preach anything. But even what would be considered a conservative church, this won't be your boilerplate, you know, your standard issue abortion talk this week. I can promise you that. And when I read the Old Testament, you know, and specifically the times of the Old Testament where God's judgment, you know, when you read the prophets and you read about the times when God's judgment was against ancient Israel and all the bullshit they did. And it amazed me that some people read that and they're like, my gosh, at least we're not that bad. But we are. As a nation, we are that bad. Now, you can sit there and say, well, we're not a true nation because we're multicultural. We're not an ethnically homogenous nation. But it was who made it that way. I mean, our people, our ancestors made that decision. I mean, yeah, there might have been other foreigners, other races that convinced them to do that. But they still had the power. They still made that choice. I mean, that's just being real. That's not giving anybody a pass. That's not trying to shift blame. We look at things realistically. Our ancestors, those who come before us, just several generations back, we're not talking ancient history, they made the decision to shift this country to a multicultural nation. They had the power. They had the power. You know, these other groups are like 2% of the population. You know, if the 98% says, no, we're not doing that shit, they're not going to do that shit. It's the 2%. It's not the 2%. They're, you know, they might be trying to talk you into it, but I mean, hell, fire. Politicians, you know, you would think people that are in charge of ruling a country would like be able to make decisions of their own without being influenced. Anyway, sorry, getting off on a tangent. So, you know, we could say that, well, we don't have a homogenous nation, so it's not actually a nation, but this is where we are, okay? This cesspit that we are in is what we are in. And people look at ancient Israel and the judgment times of the prophets and say, at least we don't do that. You know, at least we're not that bad. And I just wonder, how so? How do people read the prophets and say, we're not as bad as ancient Israel? So I'd say this nation, this America, is every bit as bad and probably, honest to goodness, worse. Well, what do you mean? Those people, like were worshiping at trees and setting up these weird altars and stuff. We're not doing that. You listen to the first part of the show, you know where we're going with this. Know where we're going with this. Probably the most fervent religion right now is that, you know, the order of the white coat. Whether it's the science or the medicine, if they have a white coat, they are a high priest and they cannot be questioned. They are treated with the utmost respect. Christianity, they put a crucifix representing our Lord and Savior in a jar of piss and call that free speech. Call that free speech. We're good with that. Don't be, you know, they won't be doing a representation of the Prophet Muhammad with that shit. But anyway, it's free speech. But you see, the Order of the White Coat, they're very fervent. They're very evangelical. I guess that is the term I was fishing around for. They're very evangelical. They're very fervent, very zealous, very zealous in their faith. Very zealous in their faith. And it's a false god. They worship at the feet of the false god. And part of this order is the government. We're having some fun talking about this is where the government LARPs about they can change time by moving clocks around. And these people worship that. The government's power. Oh, they share in the government's power. These people that run around and like take joy in people losing their jobs for disagreeing with the most powerful people on the planet. You know, you disagree with the regime, haha, you lose their job. And you have these midwits on social media and they run around and gloat like they share in that victory. or God smote you. It's like their attitude, isn't it? Oh, you lost your job for being a wrong thinker and actually speaking against the regime? Or God smote you. You got fired from your job. You dared to question. Dared to question the authority. Very evangelical, very zealous in their faith. You got to give them that. Well, the people of ancient Israel, they would sit there and literally bow down to a piece of wood. We don't do that. Well, it would convince me more if you would take just half a second to look up from your smartphone while you tell me that. Everybody walking around, bow down, their heads bowed. You look at ancient Israel, the people could get open the cabinet, get their block of wood, and bow their head down and stare at the block of wood and be like, ha ha, they're stupid. You look around America today, everybody, what? Walking around, bowed down, staring at their hands, at that phone. There ain't nothing in there they're going to learn new. Updating their likes, updating their status, bowing down. Why did you run into that? Did you have a head-on collision on a perfectly clear day on a divided highway? I was worshiping my God of Facebook. It's this new thing now, Meta or something, you know, because Facebook didn't sound like evil enough. Meta, we shall control everything. Bow down. Would you bow down? Bow down. The difference is the ancient Israelites did put the piece of wood back up in the cabinet and go on about their business, but people now don't. They just still walking around, they bowing down to, they're that much more fervent. Fervent for the societal acceptance. I got to get them likes. I got to see how many people liked my TikTok video. I got to see how many people liked what I said. Very fervent on all things religious except for following the Lord. And, of course, one of the most abhorrent practices in those days is passing the children to the fire to Moloch. Passing the children through the fire. See, what people don't realize a lot of times, and I've talked about this before, I touched on it before, you know, because you read in the Bible and it says, God says, I did not, when he's issuing out this condemnation, he says, I did never commanded you to pass your children through the fire to Moloch. And people don't know, and they think like there was a ceremony, like maybe there was a flame and they just kind of put the kid over the flame, you know, like a baptism, but instead of putting water on their head, like a christening, instead of putting water on their forehead, they take the baby and like, over this flame real fast and say, oh, now I've dedicated my child to Moloch. Hey, what happened? They like threw the baby in there and let it scream while it burned to death. When it gets better, they had an orgy. So can you imagine these people throw their newborn baby in there, their infant in there to be burned to death. And while the child is screaming as it's being burned to death, they're all having sex. They're having a big orgy on the floor. It's very disgusting. We don't do that. Know where I'm going because I already spoiled it. We sacrifice countless infants with the abortion in this country. We're going to look away from it. We're going to talk about that. Well, they're not passing them through the fire. No, it's much more humane. They go in there and chop their limbs off. And then maybe take some body parts of them and put them into a vaccine or use them to create a vaccine that alters people's DNA. Yeah, nothing. It's much more humane and much less evil than passing kids, you know, children through the fire to Moloch. And you'll get those who justify it. Of course, those who promote the abortion. They always say the same thing, you know. They always try to pull that. Oh, you're against abortion? Yes. In all cases, yes. What about rape and incest? Do you still think, because they try to frame you. They try to frame you as like an extremist. This is the way they always do this shit. Doesn't matter what the topic. What about rape and incest? Yeah. Can you point and show me what percentage of actual abortions ever happen because of rape and incest? Virtually none. It's a bullshit argument. You're sitting there going, we have this many million abortions every year. It's a Holocaust, I'm telling you, because of all the abortions every year. And you have this many abortions every year. And what are these people? They can't counter that. So they come back with this fantasy, this theory. Oh, yeah, theoretically, if a girl was raped by her brother and got pregnant, would you be against her getting an abortion? They don't have any actual facts. They just come up with this fantasy story. 99.9999999% of these abortions are for what? Convenience. And what does that mean? Well, they don't have an orgy on the floor with the abortion doctor, so it's not the same as passing the children to the fire through the fire to Moloch. But why are they getting an abortion to begin with? They're going to spend some more time riding that carousel. You know what I'm talking about. I got to keep having my fun. I got to keep going out and having sex with as many men as I possibly can. A baby would get in the way of that. We're going to chop it up. You see, they're sacrificing on the altar of their own indulgence, on their own debauchery, on their own self-centeredness. Don't have time for no child. Don't have time for bring a life into this world. And you see where this is satanic. You can talk about it. It's like, yeah, that's satanic. But it's literally satanic because it's, again, a rebellion. It's the opposite of what God said. What did God say? Go forth, be fruitful, and multiply. Go have your children. Go reproduce. It's what you're supposed to do, what you're commanded to do. How in the opposite of that could you be? How much more in the opposite of that could you be? I mean, it'd be one thing if you were in rebellion by being abstinent. You know, it's like everybody's just like, well, we're going to rebel against God. We just ain't going to have no sex. But they ain't willing to do that. No, I mean, as opposite of that as you could be is, oh, I'm pregnant. Let me go to the Order of the White Coat. And they'll ram this crap up my vagina and chop my child up into little bitty pieces. And yes, we know the baby can feel pain. You get this infant inside its mother's womb where it's supposed to feel the safest because it's separated and forming from the outside world. And all of a sudden the outside world comes in at the invitation of the mother, shoves that shit up the canal and starts ripping their arms off. Ripping their arms off, chopping them up, little pieces. In all reality, it's probably more cruel than the practice of burning the babies up to Moloch. And all for what? Because mommy wants to go have some more fun. Mommy's going to have a career someday. If she's not, but she thinks she is. Mostly her career is having sex with all kinds of different rando guys. See, you know, if she can land one that meets her ever-shifting standards. Sacrifice them in the name of your own pleasure, you see. It's all about yourself. Now, I'm going to stop for just a minute to make another point, because back, way back in the day, you know, in the days of social media, if this came up, inevitably, I would have somebody in my feed pop in. And so there's probably somebody listening to the show, so I'll save you the trouble of writing in to inform me. I have somebody pop in and say, well, you're stupid. You're stupid to be against abortion. I'm not against abortion. These people say they're not against abortion because blacks get abortions. You see, black, if we didn't have abortion, we would have more blacks. People will hit me with this shit. And I'm fixing to debunk and point out the fallacy in your logic, even from your perspective. I'm not even going to try to change your mind. I'm going to point out the fallacy from your own perspective. If you're sitting there listening to this and go, well, there would be more blacks in the country because if we didn't have abortion, because a certain number of blacks get abortions. I'm going to just show the error in your thinking from your own perspective. Let's say you've got 100 people. So you've got 100 people here. And your opponent has 1,000 people. Now, you've got a process to where out of your 100 people, say 10 of those people get wiped out. But you support that because you see you're looking at this other group and with 1,000 people and 20 of their people by the same process are getting wiped out. And you're celebrating and saying that's a victory. Saying this process that wiped out 10 of my dudes, it took out 20 of their dudes. So you see, it's a good thing because there'd be more of them. There would be more of them if we didn't have this process that wiped them out. But you lost 10 of your dudes, and you're operating from a standpoint of a weaker standpoint, I guess I want to say. You can't afford to lose the 10. You losing the 10 dudes is a lot worse for your position than your opponent losing the 20 dudes. You see, I guess what I'm wanting to say is, those who advocate for abortions, they'll sacrifice however many blacks they need to, because it ain't the blacks that are running that agenda. You know, they're just a pawn and you're just a pawn. And at the end of the day, they don't care how many of the black pawns they sacrifice as long as they can knock out some more white pawns. Does that make sense to you? So to sit there and say, well, I'm for abortion because it knocks out more black pawns. But those that push that agenda, they're just, they don't care how many black pawns they sacrifice. And so it's the point here to counter that is by your own reasoning to have that position is flawed. If it was good for white people, do you think that those that push that agenda would be pushing it because it's good for you? No, it's because they don't care how many blacks they sacrifice. They get the end result. They sacrifice 100 black babies to abort one white baby. You know, I mean, it's, by your own position, you're losing by your own position because you're still, at the end of the day, you're losing parts of your own people. Now, I think the practice is abhorrent regardless of who it's practiced on. But I thought, I've always felt the counter to that was that the argument in itself is lacks logic, isn't based in logic. So I've always countered that with, well, from your own standpoint, it doesn't make any sense. Now, anyway, to get back on topic, I had to stop right there. To get back on topic, this procedure, this sacrifice is what? It's carried out by the high priests, the order of the white coat, the science, the medicine, the medical profession. Now, understand, if I break my leg, I'm going to the doctor. I'm not one of them people that ain't going to go to the doctor for nothing. I don't go to the doctor unless I absolutely have to. But, it's not that. We're talking about a whole different thing here. I'm talking about this blind faith. It is a religious faith. The sacrifice is carried out by a high priest who wears the white coat and has this position of authority. And they put their faith in them. They go down and they put their legs up in the stirrups and they submit to the procedure because they have faith in the order of the white coat. They have faith in the high priest. They're doing this thing. While Christians, well, the Christian community in this country doesn't have the faith to say anything because it might offend somebody. They don't have enough faith to be willing to even offend anybody by speaking the truth. These people have enough faith to literally do a human sacrifice with their children in the name of the order of the white coat, in the name, in the faith of their religion, the procedure, the practice, the medicine, the science. They literally are doing human sacrifice in the name of the religion for the order of the white coat. Meanwhile, the Christian community sits around and, well, we can't offend anybody. We can't speak up. We can't say this. We can't say that because we might offend somebody. Now, I'm painting with a broad brush here. There are those who do speak up. But usually, you very seldom see anybody point out the religious aspects of this. You'll sit there and have people that protest abortion is murder, but that's just, it doesn't point to the fact that it's a religious practice. It is human sacrifice. We look at this collapsing society around us, and I get so triggered, and I talk about it every week. Because, you know, I'm down here. I'm out here in you know, one of the red states, you know. And if you live in a red state, you're going to drive around. You're going to see. You're going to hear, God bless America. God save our troops. You know, our troops in America. God bless America. And God save America. And America, I believe in America. Worship. Let's throw another false god up to worship. What the hell? We got plenty. We put the ancient Israelites to shame. Abortion is one of the many ways that this nation, this country, the vast amount of blood that is on their hands, got the child sacrifice. I don't even know. Do they even really keep track of how many abortions are performed every year? You got all of this countless sacrifice. I can guarantee you it's more than kids that were sacrificed to Moloch. More sacrificed to the altar of the science because the religion is even that much more fervent. That much more evangelical about it. That's much more zealous in their faith. How many people over the decades, how much innocent blood has been shed by this nation? Wars that didn't need to be fought. People that didn't need to die. Sadistic killing in the name of an agenda. And how many wars, just in my lifetime, how many wars have we gotten into? And really, at the end of the day, the reason they give is, you know, America's respect on the world stage. Imagine having your house freaking firebombed in the name of America's prestige on the world stage. You see, America's has to have their prestige on the world stage. Either everybody else in the world might not believe in the power of America and our steadfast commitment to our values and the democracy if we didn't drop some firebombs on somebody's wedding reception on the other side of the world that has nothing to do with us. All of this blood is on their hands. You can sit there and say, well, it shouldn't count because they're Muslims anyway. No, the blood of the innocent counts. The blood of the innocent counts. How many wars? What role did America have in fighting either of the world wars? The two big wars, one and two. If America would have stayed out of that, how would America have been harmed? In what way? But no, they had to go. Had to go sacrifice some more lives, more blood shed. The sacrifices have to be made. The point here, you know, because I mean, look, there's times you go to war for specific real reasons. America just can't seem to pass up any opportunity to go shed blood. But the point here is that there is a vast amount of blood, and this whole notion of God bless America, of course, just irks me. But I gotta reel that back in. I apologize for getting way the hell kind of off topic with that. But there is a vast amount of blood. And at some point in time, God gets enough of that shit. And the judgment is here. The wrath is here. And the absurdity is here because it's coming down. But to kind of wrap up here. And we've talked already about how these child sacrifices are done at the order, at the hands of the Order of the White Coat. Which is by all really definitions, it is now a religion, and that's committing human sacrifice. People sit there, look at the Aztecs, and it's like, oh my gosh, they did human sacrifice. And not on this scale. It's being carried out here. Our high priests that carry out the human sacrifice wear the white coat. They're part of the order. You know, of course, you have, you know, very different levels of the high order of the white coat. I guess Anthony Fauci would be like the Pope. He's the Pope of the Order of the White Coat. Everybody go down. And really, I bet the guy could show up at like in a random gathering of midwits and like wear a ring and hold his hands out. And these people would bow down and kiss his ring and be all thrilled because they got their picture taken kissing the ring of Pope Fauci. These are the same. This kind of brings us to the wrapping up point here. The same Order of the White Coat now is telling us, is the ones that are telling everybody this vaccine is absolutely safe and now we should celebrate and get our kids injected with this mRNA vaccine because it's so safe. I was talking earlier about, you know, the local news, and of course they just magically had these vaccines ready to roll the very next day. And you know, you got some, and it's always a mom. You know, you never have like, they never have these stories with like two parents, you know, and so I have to assume these are all single mothers. And you have this mom, and she's on TV doing her virtue signal, and she got this little girl. I saw the story, and she got her little girl up there, and the little girl is going like, I am so excited because I can finally get my vaccine and you know, brave and getting my vaccine. The same people who, the same order that chops babies' limbs off while they're alive are the same ones saying this is totally safe and effective, and you need to inject your five-year-olds with it. Let that sink in. The Order of the White Coat are the ones that are saying, totally shoot your kids up with this. We wouldn't want to harm you. We want what's best for you. The same people that are responsible for ripping infants' arms off of them and chopping them into pieces alive are the same ones saying you need to vax your kids up. Now we can do 5 years old. And they're already doing studies. They're not wasting any time. They said, oh, we've released it. We've approved it for five and up. And then the very same day, Pfizer is working on studies for basically infants now. You know, I think they're maybe backing it up to three. They're going to do infants. So you're going to get born. You're going to get on the regimen to where you're getting the vaccine your entire life. Same people. Just let that sink in. You get these people who say like, oh, I trust the science, which means I trust the media. You know, these people that will sit there and try to make the point is somehow A-okay. You know, maybe people, if you go to an IRL church that just doesn't have the amount of red pilling that we have here at the Parish of the Patriots, you know, and they'll sit there and you'll probably get into engagement. Next time you're engaged with some, you know, normie Christian boomer or something, and they try to tell you, well, I believe in the vaccine. I mean, these people just get way out there. I believe in the vaccine. Just point out to them, the very same people that are telling you it's totally safe are the very same people that are saying it's a great thing to rip your infant's arms off and chop them up into little pieces while they're alive. These are the same people that are telling you this is totally safe. Don't worry about it. Give it to your kids. Nothing bad will happen. Anybody who would believe that these people have their best interests in mind at the end of the day, anybody who would believe that is, I'm sorry, they're just not at all in touch with reality. So anyway, we're at the time. We got to wrap this up. And I hope you got something out of the show this week. Hope you got something out. Like I said, I told you we're going to discuss abortion during the sermon this week. And as I told you, I can guarantee you're going to be like, I'm going down to my small church. They're going to preach on abortion this week. You ain't getting this take on it, are you? Getting this take on it. You're going to get some, you know, kind of middle of the road where it doesn't get too extreme. But you get a real take here at the Parish of the Patriot. Anyway, I do hope you got something out of it. I appreciate those voluntary financial support of the show. It is much appreciated. So remember, you can find that information at the bottom of the page. And again, I'm on every Friday with the Daily Nationalist, Finn Longshanks, to wrap your week up. It's always a fun and fairly brief discussion. The show generally only runs about 30 minutes, so probably want to check that out as well. And of course, it goes without saying, you're going to want to check us out again next week, right here for the Parish of the Patriots.